And now we'll go to Faluki.
Amen. Okay, can I have my helpers to pass out the bracelets that I gave to you to pass out? So if you would take a bracelet, if you're wearing a bracelet that can slip off easily and slip onto the next hand, then you don't need to take a bracelet. You can use your own bracelet. And because I could see a look of a gentleman's face there thinking, bracelets, I have put little black, they're like hairbands, but they're more masculine, okay? So take a masculine black band if you don't want to take a bracelet, okay? So, and if the black bands are gone on the one, there are other black bands on the other. That's for the guys, because they didn't want to... Right, anyway, so while they're doing that, anybody that was here last week, can you remember any of the points that I mentioned last week? Okay, prayer, doing a prayer inventory so that you're checking up where are you in your prayer life. What else did I mention? Pressing into the presence of God by coming to church with an expectant heart. Partnering with other believers outside of church. Great. One more. Last one. Praise and gratitude. There. They all begin with P, you'd be pleased to know. Has everybody had an opportunity for a bracelet? People up front? Yeah. Everybody? Nobody want a bracelet? Guys, you sure you don't want something more sparkly? Not really. You can take the black ones. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, just hang on to that. Make sure you can slip it on one wrist and slip it onto the other. Because there'll be an activity later on in the message which will require us to do. Have you got ones at the back there? Yeah, jolly good. Got it at the desk? Yeah, everybody used it? Yeah, okay, good, excellent. Right, let's just pray and commit the word to the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for your faithfulness, for your constant presence with us. We've come expecting you to be here, Lord, and you haven't disappointed us. We thank you, Lord, that as we open your word, it is a light to us. It is a lamp to our feet. And we ask you, Lord, just to illuminate our way as we speak and share one with another today. Be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week we were talking about how are we known, being known. And I had four suggestions. And we've just mentioned those suggestions. And this week, I want to continue on my P theme. And it's about present. So I've got some things that I feel as we draw near to God, we can present to God. And the very first thing is found in Romans 12, verse 2, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jennifer Hawthorne wrote a paper called "Change Your Thought, Change Your World." And to me, that's just restating exactly what it says in Romans about renewing your mind and being transformed. But obviously she made more bucks writing that paper and being a psychoanalyst. And basically what we're saying, what she says, is that 98% of our thoughts from day to day are the same as yesterday. So our thought patterns are 98% the same as we thought yesterday. And therefore it stands to reason that if you are going to change what you're doing, then you've got to change the way you're thinking. And apparently we have 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And that was what Jennifer said. But as I did further research, other people estimate it as being really higher. Can you imagine 70, 80,000 thoughts going through your head a day? It's no wonder the Bible encourages us to let's be renewed in our minds. And then research also reveals that 80%, I don't know how they know these things, to be honest with you, I'm just taking them, they've done their research, 80% of our thoughts are negative. So this is why the Bible is saying we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And Pastor Will Bowden of Christ Church in Kansas, he did an experiment with bracelets, And what he said, he wanted to get across the point that we need to transform our thinking. And he started out by saying that there are too many complainers. You know, we complain about everything. And if we don't say it, then we think it, right? And so what he said to them, he said, every time you have a complaint, you're thinking a complaint, I want you to just switch the bracelet from one wrist to the other. Very, very simple. You switch. Already people are switching. Okay? That was what? So every time you have a negative complaining thought, like, you know, I wish you'd shut up, or, you know, then you switch it over. Or, do you know, those people outside making off a racket, you switch it over. And apparently, it just transformed and revolutionized his congregation, 250 people, so much so that they began to tell other people and they began to tell other people until he had over a million people, over 5 million people that were doing the bracelet experiment. And he was even getting letters from the White House to say, you know, this is revolutionized. And, you know, it wasn't the magic that's in the bracelets. Let's first, you know, so I'm not giving you magic bracelets. I'm not fasted and prayed and laid hands on the bracelets. It was the fact that you're paying attention to your thought. And if you pay attention to it, you can actually arrest that thought, or you can stop yourself thinking that thought. So as you start to think, oh, there's no, you know, actually, no, I'm not going to be negative. And you've switched it over and you've stopped that thought from blossoming, as it were. So the magic isn't in the bracelet, it's in taken captive. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we are encouraged to cast down every imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I've been doing this since I discovered this little thing for quite a while now. And actually, it does change your attitude towards individuals. So if you have a negative thought towards individuals, then I just, you know, swap it over. Instead of thinking, oh, she would do that because... Rather than that, I just swap it over because that's being judgmental. So I've decided to take my judgmental thoughts and cast them out. The Bible says, judge not and you will not be judged. Taking every thought captive. We're going to have a practice in a little bit, but not just yet. But if you want to start swapping, then that's fine. That's okay. It's important that because we have 70,000 thoughts, you know, if you were doing that all the time, that you take a particular angle that maybe you're having some issues with. So it might be negative thoughts about yourself. It might be... it could be anything. It could be negative thoughts about yourself, or I never amount to anything, or I'm just no good at, just swap it over. And I've taken it a step further. Rather than just having those thoughts and swapping over, which apparently works itself if you just pay attention to it, I've started to speak the word out. So when I was rehearsing this message the other day, looking at myself in the mirror, a thought came to me, this is rubbish. they're never gonna like this. I just swapped it over and I said, actually, the word of God is in my mouth. And I said, no, I'm anointed by God to preach his word. And then I carried on doing what I'm doing. Taken thoughts about the negativity about myself, I decided I'm not going to be negative about myself, and I'm going to cast down those thoughts. So when it's like, gosh, you look awful, when I'm passing the mirror, I say, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm swapping it over, but I'm also speaking out the word of God, taking those thoughts captive, paying attention to it. Okay. So another way to... present our minds to God is through meditation, just being still, just focusing in on him. And I love how Dave leads. He gives us opportunities to be silent and to be still. But because we've got that kind of 70,000 words traffic in our head, quite often, even though he's given us the opportunity, we're not taking the opportunity to be still. But Psalm 4 verse 5 says that we should meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And we need to be present in the very moment. So often we're thinking ahead. How many of us today, and don't show your hands, have already thought about something we're going to do after church? Or, oh, I didn't put the so-and-so in the so-and-so. I didn't bring such-and-such that I was going to bring. And your thoughts have been all over the place. But what we're encouraged to do is to be still in our minds and meditate on God. Be still in the present moment, fully here. So I'm going to give us an opportunity to meditate on God's word. And a number of people, I don't know how many, who's my readers today? Okay. Can my readers, as in Dave, can you come forward to do my reading, please? I'm going to invite you up, and I'm going to give us a chance to use our bangles. I'm going to merge the two, taking thoughts captive and meditating the word. So I'm going to lead you in a stillness, get our minds still. Then we're going to listen to the word, and then I'm going to give some silence, a moment's silence. I'm going to get my phone and time us. Only 2 minutes, 3 minutes to think about the word that we hear and what that means to us. But as I'm leading us in a stillness exercise, if your mind wanders away, just swap your bangle to the other side and bring it back, okay? So that's what you're using the bracelets for, okay? Swap the bracelet over. Nobody looking at anybody else because everybody's eyes will be bowed. So not yet, I'll let you know when to read. Okay, so sit up in your chair. If possible, bring your back a little bit away from the back support so that your spine is self-supporting if you're able, okay? So make sure that you place your feet slightly apart. Touch the floor. Put them on the floor if you can. Okay. And lower your gaze to the floor. Close your eyes if that feels better for you. And now I want you to focus your attention on your breath. Breathe in slowly and breathe out. If you're distracted in any way, then swap your bangle or your bracelet to the other side. Observe your breath. Breathe in, breathe out. You're not looking for anything in particular, just paying attention to your breath. Pay attention to your breath. Now we're going to focus on the Word of God. And if your mind wanders from what is being said, just move your bracelet to the other side.
Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" "Now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who look forward eagerly to his appearing."
Okay, now return to focusing on your breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Now bring to mind what you've just heard, the word that you've just heard, and start to think about what this means. What is your understanding of those scriptures? Your mind starts to wander, remove the bracelet to the other side. Okay, just finish your thoughts and look up, look at me. Did anybody not move the bangle to the other side? You were present. Somebody, okay, we have a winner. Okay, you all get brownie points. Some people were able to stay in the moment. And the rest of you, how did that feel? Anybody want to share in terms of, yeah?
I've spoken about 5 times.
Okay. And did it help you when moving it over to say, actually, no, I want to be here?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Did
some people, yeah, go ahead. Okay, right, okay. Were you looking up or were you looking down? Oh, but you were seeing his face more. Okay, and did you swap it over and did it help you get back to... Okay. Anybody else want to share? Okay, right. So the thought, whatever thought you were having was intrusive so much. So. Okay, okay, so you had to block that, okay. Yeah. Okay, right. Just something for you to think about in terms of you practicing that being stillness. And at the end there, it was only 60 seconds silence, you know. you can imagine, you can build up on that, really. Maybe you want to meditate God's word. You take a scripture, whether even if it's just one word, or even if it's just the thought, God is good. That's what I really want to meditate on today. And just use the bracelet as something in that 5 minutes. Set your watch, you know, set your timer and use your watch. And you will find that actually after a while, you know, by the time you get to it, that, you know, you're able to build up your ability to focus in and be still and focus on God. And then as you listen, you'll be able to hear that still small voice of God. But, you know, it takes some discipline in order for us to... be obedient to that word and to be still, get in a place where we can practice that. So two things really as we present our minds to God. One is taking thoughts captive, making sure that we're combating that negativity or that judgment attitude or that self-talk. If we're going to be transformed, we need to be renewed using the word in that. And the other thing is practicing, meditating. Just 5 minutes really is all that we took. We took just a minute at the end there to just meditate on the scripture that we heard. So in our busy, busy lives, let's think about presenting our minds. The second thing is about presenting our bodies. And it's the same scripture, Romans 12, but verse 1. And he says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Holy and pleasing. That is your true and proper worship. And so really, I'm encouraging us all to present our bodies by acknowledging God in all that we do so that he will direct our path, as it says in Proverbs 3:6. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in thought or word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. And although our being known is not assured by anything that we do, what we do is still important. And what we do should come out of our being known. And so it's important that we are doing things and committing those things to the Lord. As it says, in all my ways I acknowledge you. And I believe it's on a daily basis. We should daily bring our doings, as they call them, to the Lord. So often we ask God to help us after the horse has left the stable. You know, oh God, can you bless that horse ride, and the horse is gone, is out the stable. And it's important that we do it beforehand, you know. Even though we know what is the right thing to do, you might know how to do your job very, very effectively. You've done it for the last 10 years, but have you committed that to the Lord to say, guide me in this particular way? We pray about everything, family visits, people coming to stay, us going out for dinner, you know, everything, giving God the opportunity to actually be blessed. And as I committed my ways to the Lord, the other day I went into Middleton and I was buying something at the counter and I had a £10 note and I counted it up and it came to £9.50 in my head. So I'm at the checkout and I'm paying for this thing, £9.50. And he said, £10.97. I'm like, what? So I gave him the £10, started to search for the other 97p, nothing in there. So I thought, well, pay with my card. And he looked at me and said, I can't. I've put the £10 through. You got to come up with 97p. And I'm like, ah. And then this woman said, can I help? And she just offered a pound. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And I had found 80p by this time. So I tried to give it to her. She said, no, no, no. She's glad to be of service. So I was so blessed by that. So I came out of the shop and I went and I got some money out, some cash, and I chased after this older lady, found her at the bus stop, and I said, and I gave her a £20 note in her hand. I said, "You have been such an angel and a blessing to me." She said, "I was just thinking, does that lady know Jesus? And here you are." I said, "I do know Jesus." And she said, "Oh, I'm born again." I said, "Me too." And we hugged each other like we were long lost sisters. And it was just such a blessing. But to me, it's like, as I've committed my paths unto the Lord, shopping is something I do, God has caused the events, I believe, to just come together. And we were making such a commotion in the bus stop. Everybody had turned to look at us. So what's going on? And I saw her, as I walked away, start to tell other people about what had just happened. Isn't that giving God glory? So anyway, even though it's something that you do, which is just normal, like doing the shopping, doing your job, let's commit all that we are into the Lord. So we're going to take a few minutes and challenging you really to commit your ways to the Lord. Bring in your body and all that you do. Have you got holidays coming up? Have you prayed about those holidays? Are there things that you're going to buy? Have you prayed about those things? People coming to stay? What about your future plans? I've got future plans for retirement, not until 4 years' time, but I'm praying now into that, committing that to the Lord so that the pathway may be smooth. What about your work, your education, your family? Are they coming to stay? They definitely need a bit of prayer if family are coming to stay. I find that it always goes smoother once I've prayed about family visits. So let's just take a few moments to bow our heads and pray. And let's just pray in silent. In your heart, pray to the Lord. If you find your mind wandering, do feel free to move the bracelet and pray and commit your paths unto the Lord. Amen. I think that's something really we should be in the habit of doing daily, really, asking God for daily bread, but committing our ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path. So let's present our bodies and all our doings. The next thing I want to talk about is presenting our hearts to him. The scripture, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you," doesn't end there. It goes on to say, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In Romans 2, there's a whole passage where Paul is talking to the Jews saying, you know, you're outwardly saying you believe in God, don't commit adultery, don't do this, but actually you're being double standards. You know, behind the scenes, you are committing adultery. You are backbiting and talking about your brothers and sisters. And therefore, your heart is far from God. In Isaiah 20:13, he says, "These people claim to worship me, but their words are meaningless, and their hearts are somewhere else. Their religion is nothing but human rules and traditions, which they simply have memorized." And so it's important that we are making sure that our hearts are free from sin, free from that double standards. And God has made a way that we can turn away from sin. There's no, I think, great leader in the Bible. We don't hear about all of their sins, but some of them we do hear about. David committed adultery and murder. Moses murdered somebody. You know, they sinned big time, but they didn't stay in their sin. They repented from their hearts and God forgave them. And so that is the way out of sin. But it's not just sin that taints our hearts and keeps us from being known by God. There are lots of weights, and I need a volunteer. Need a volunteer for my weights. Anybody? Helen, sorry, my eyes just caught you. I hope you haven't got back trouble by any chance. Jolly good, jolly good. Because let's just say, that she has now turned, she's repented, so she's turned from going her own way, and God has relieved her. There's nothing in that. There's no sin. She's forgiven. She's completely clean. Take a step. She prays. Take a step. She presses into the presence of God. Take another step. She, what's the name? She partners with other believers. Hallelujah. Another step. She prays and worships God, whether in the congregation and also on her own. But there's just a couple of things that, you know, she's not quite got sorted. She's got a broken heart. So she's she's a bit emotionally. So this is a bit of a weight. So if you just put that on there. So that's a weight that is kind of weighing her down. And then, you know, she comes to church sometimes smiling, but really she's not feeling it. So it's kind of some lies that she's living there. So let me see if this will strap around there. There we go. And then there's a bit of unforgiveness in her heart. That's another weight there. Do you want to hang on to that? And, past failures and mistakes that she just can't forgive herself for. I'll put this in my back here. I'll keep that behind you, okay? She just can't forgive herself for those things. And then we've got, what do we got? We've got trauma. We've got self-hatred. Low self-worth. In they go. All right, that's why I said, I hope you haven't got a bad back. Okay, how are we doing? Is that okay? Jolly good. Any more there? Okay. And we've got grief as well. So do you want to just grab onto that one? So the Bible encourages us in Hebrews 12:1 that we should lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. So it's different for everybody. You know, whatever weighs you down might be different, but it's important that we unburden ourselves and we take these, and we put them at the cross. So let's bring a cross here. And we lay them aside. Do you want to unburden yourself there? Leave them at the cross. And it says, let us run with perseverance, with endurance, the race that is set before us. It would be stupid for, what's his name, Usain Bolt, to carry all these weights as he was doing his particular race. Doesn't that feel better? Just laying them down at the cross. So it's important that we lay these things down. It's a challenge, and we need to do a heart inventory every so often. Are there things that have crept in? Bitternesses, unforgiveness, envy, wrong motivations. Regularly do a heart check and ask God to create in me a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within me. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? What's the motivation behind it? And bring those things to God. So Romans 2 concludes that he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision one of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is one of the heart. So we're going to have a prayer of circumcision now in terms of our hearts, and we're going to think about those weights and sins that might so easily beset us. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, this is the time. He will remove all of those weights, all of those sins, everything that you have ever done wrong. He removes them in one fell sweep. And he gives you, in place of that sin and that condemnation, he gives you his life, his righteousness. And so we're going to pray what is called the sinner's prayer to start with, but then we're going to have some silence for you to just think about what other weights you might want to unburden yourself and leave at the cross. So let's everybody pray together the sinner's prayer. Right, I'll say something and then you say after me. Dear God, I come to you today and recognize that I have done my own things. I've gone my own way. I have sinned. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and he rose again. I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior, and to lead me along your path. Okay, and now you just pray for the various weights that you might need to lie down. Amen. And finally, the last thing that we can present before the Lord is our spirits to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. So this is where my goldfish bowl comes in. And when we say the sinner's prayer, we get filled with God's loving and God's caring, and we get filled with his spirit. And what happens, because life is tough, that oftentimes as we're going through life, and as it was meant to be, as we're sharing, as we're going about our business, working for God, doing our daily things, some of the things get a little bit knocked out of us. And so what is necessary is that we have to be fully submerged, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples that you should wait until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the uppermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. And so we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're filled when we get born again, and then we get submerged when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But as we go along, it's not like we lose the Holy Spirit, but our ability to connect with the Holy Spirit can often be hampered. And sometimes what we do in order to preserve what is there, and I did have some cling film, but I've forgotten it, is we put some cling film over it. Because we become afraid that actually what we've got is going to get lost. And so we put a lid on it. So when we get back in the presence of God, somehow, you know, everybody else seems to be caught in the moment, but I'm not getting caught in the moment. What's going on? And that's really kind of a self-preservation mode. And the Lord is just challenging you this morning to just, you know, just peel away that little skin that you've kind of put on there for self-preservation and come again and be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Let's submerge ourselves, because that is the power to live this life of Christianity. It's not for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted, this Christian life. It's not for the passive. It's not for the inactive. We have got to actively. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have that power through being in God's Holy Spirit. He gives you the power to overcome. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And as we acknowledge that, as we continue to remain in him, submerged in him, then we have the power to live this Christian life, to go against the tide. Being a Christian is swimming against the world. While the world is going that way in a torrent of flow, we are going in the opposite direction, because the pathway is narrow, but the rewards are mighty. The rewards are mighty. So I want to, just give us an opportunity to think about and to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:44-46, when the Holy Spirit fell, there was evidence that they spoke in tongues. And so it's possible, as well as we pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that you might sense something welling up from within you. Just open your mouth and begin to speak in other tongues, as the Holy Spirit might give you utterance. Okay, so let's just pray right now. We're just the same way as we pray the sinner's prayer, we're going to pray a baptism in the Holy Spirit prayer. Amen. So if you find your mind wandering, again, just move your bracelet to the other side. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus dying for us. We thank you that we are known. Lord, we ask you for the baptism in your Holy Spirit, that you will fill us afresh, Lord, that you will equip us and empower us to go forth and to live for you. For we pray in Jesus' name. So just take a moment and just commit that in your heart to him. Amen. As we continue to develop our prayer life, whatever level you're at, we should be developing our communication with God. As we press into his presence by always coming with that expectation that God is going to meet you here. As we partner with other believers, meet him, fellowship in one with another, and as we praise and worship him together and as individuals, we can be confident that we are known. As we present our minds by taking thoughts captive and by being still and meditating his word, as we present our bodies in all that we do for his direction, for his involvement, as we present our hearts to be purified by him, by casting out the sins and confessing our sins and laying the weights at the cross, and as we present our spirits to be filled by his Holy Spirit, we will remain in him and continue to be known by him, confident that we will receive, like Paul, that crown of righteousness. Amen.